I want to talk to you about the Old Testament saints. And really, I want to set in your mind a couple things kind of right off. And that is, I'm going to even go before there's Jews and Gentiles, there's just people. And I don't want to make light of this, but God doesn't separate Abraham from the rest of the planet until Genesis. So what these people did to have fellowship with God is different than what these people did. And later, you got to remember, this comes in with who? Abraham, or Abram at the time. And it isn't until later that with Moses, the law enters in. The law enters in on Moses. And between here and here is how many years? Approximately 2,500 years. And from the law to the cross is around 1,500 years. Y'all with me? So before Genesis chapter 12, God brought judgment upon the earth. Go, if you will, well, go to Genesis. Well, we're going to go to 12, but I'm going to go back even a little bit beyond that. Genesis 3. We're going to go to 12 because that's where the division actually starts. What I want you to understand is that God, in every dispensation, doesn't matter what dispensation you're born in, the one thing that God did in every dispensation, it doesn't matter, the one commonality is what? You make a choice. He isn't going to force you to love Him or force Him to serve Him. I've been reading a book that's kind of popular. Have you all heard of The Shack? You have? It's not biblically correct, but there are aspects I really like of the book. And it's a novel. It's not a doctrinal book, although it tries to explain doctrinal things in it. It's kind of funny because Brendan and I could say, well, you know, if this guy had called us, we'd have helped him on a few of these points. And it would have made the book actually make better sense. But in the beginning, in Genesis, God had set forth two trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And he said, if you will eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so before man was a choice, and God's always going to give you a choice in every dispensation, no matter where you are. God's not going to force you to be saved. He isn't going to make you do anything against your will. And I like in the book that God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, God in the book is a black woman, and He's called Papa. And the reason why is because we don't want to, all your images of what you think of God is probably incorrect. That's why He does it in the book, to throw you off. Jesus Christ is a Middle Eastern man, doesn't look too pretty, and I like that part because of Isaiah 53. You know, it's kind of interesting stuff. And the Holy Spirit is this lady like a rainbow almost. And it's kind of an interesting how He personifies. And I don't agree with the book, but I just thought it was kind of an interesting read as Brent and I have read that. But in Genesis chapter 3, you know, the whole thing comes down to a choice of man. And even though man had made the wrong choice, God then gave him an alternative out of that choice. And it is obvious to me, as it should be anybody, that what was necessary. Now, I want to start in Genesis chapter 3, and I want to just kind of jump in the context. The serpent and Eve are having a conversation. Verse 5, "For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, a tree that desired to make one wise," and boy, we desire that kind of wisdom today, don't we? "She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband." Now, they were naked. Now, I'm not going to get into this to the nth degree, because that's not what my message is about tonight. But I want you to know what man does when he first gets guilty. And we've all done it. We've all been involved in this era. He says, "And when the eyes of them were both opened, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Those fig leaves represent religion. But see, religion has failed in all the aspects. In fact, I would say that the problem with religion, and I really divide it up like this. Religion on one side, truth on the other. Okay? Religion is self-willed. What do I mean by that? You make the decisions. You are baptized. You walk the aisle. You say the sinner's prayer. That's religion. It's the emphasis is on you. Self-determination. I'm mustering it up. And truth is always, he did. His sacrifice. All about him. And on and on. Well, religion, and it doesn't matter to me if it's Muslim, Greek Orthodox, Baptist, Presbyterian, Hindu, Vedics, Catholics, it doesn't matter to me. If you do something in that religion, then that falls under the religion category. Does that make sense to you? But the truth doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And even throughout all the book, those pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ were always there, always present, always understood. Not that they completely understood the mystery. That's not what I'm saying. It's just all pointed toward something other than them. And there is no difference. Now, look what happens. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the tree. Well, what did the fig leaves not take care of? Yeah, the conscience, the guilt. It didn't clear it. And so, the first thing I want you to understand is when God is judging, he's always judging based upon his word. They had sowed the fig leaves, they didn't feel naked anymore, but their conscience still told them that they did something wrong. Hide. It's like a kid. I love children. Did you steal that from the grocery store? No. What? Because they know by their eyes they're guilty. I remember when back in the days of the 60s and the 70s when we smoked pot. We didn't. What are you laughing about? He probably smoked pot too. Back in the day, and I'm not saying that it's right to, but you know, there was always a paranoia that they could see that we were stoned. And that paranoia sensed you and really, in a way, controlled you. It wasn't the freedom or the joy of the high. It was the guilt and the condemnation of doing something wrong. Same thing is here. Same thing in a little kid that told a lie. And so people say, well, what did God do before grace came along? Well, he gave them some deals here. He cursed Satan and on and on. He tells man he's going to work by the sweat of his brow. Yeah, and Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make clothes of skins and clothe them. What happened? Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. There had to be something. They didn't have to die, but something had to die. And you see that exchange, that whole issue is very, very important. One, when you get to the judgment of what's going on before, remember that God operates upon faith. Very important. Listen to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God cannot judge you for what you have not heard. Let me say that again. In any dispensation, God cannot hold you accountable for what you've not heard. Doesn't matter. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we see the next chapter, chapter 4, come about, we've got two sons. What are their names? Cain and Abel. And this is very, very important. See, it said in verse 3, I'm going to read verse 2. And she again bared his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, think about the sheep. Can you make the sheep grow? Can you fertilize the sheep? You can't do anything really except protect them. They kind of grow naturally. But how about the garden? You work it. And what is religion? It's work. Over here, no work. Was watching the sheep still work? Yeah, but it wasn't like you could make the sheep grow. You couldn't prosper the sheep. You couldn't even make them mate. My brother-in-law and sister just tried to mate their Yorkie. And the lady just said she's probably not ready yet. You know? I mean, you just can't make it happen. You can put put two different studs with them, and she was just kind of not interested. She just wasn't ready. But they did all the work, but they couldn't make it. Now, they did do it a couple times, but they have to, you know, dogs have to lock up, and that was never done. So they don't know whether the dog is actually pregnant or not. But the point that I'm making is there's really very little control that you have over that. Okay? With a garden, though, you have a control of what you put in the ground, what you plant, what you fertilize. You have a lot of choices to make that garden. Brendan and I have been very fortunate to have some organic gardens in our lives. I grew zucchini. It looked like baseball bats that were so tender, it was unbelievable. Just making sure that soil gets the right nutrients. And, you know, really, you can control a lot in a garden. Like catching beetles, you know, you can really whittle down your, you can put fencing around to keep the birds away and on and on. Well, right off, you see a decision of the men. Now, what's really important is why Abel, go to Hebrews chapter 11, and go to Hebrews 11, and you've got to see this. Remember what we're talking about. What was it that they heard that caused them to go to hell or caused them to go to heaven? Remember, we're dealing with Old Testament saints now. We've dealt with all the Gentiles that feared God, Gentiles that cursed God. We've done all that, right? This is before all that. In Genesis chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." Now watch this. By faith. Well, I would have Romans chapter 10, verse 17 right by there. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if Abel did anything by faith, what do we know that God had to do? He had to tell him, right? I mean, you got to hear. The object is hearing. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Remember, the division of whether you go in or whether you go to hell is based upon righteousness in every dispensation. Do you all understand that? The division is righteousness versus unrighteousness. Now, how many are righteous? None. But they can hear something, and God says, you want to be righteous, raise your right hand. What are you going to do? Raise your right hand, right? If God says, if you want to be righteous, raise your left foot, you're going to raise your left foot. Whatever God tells you to do for righteousness' sake, that you do. How many are good? But can we follow what God told us to do for righteousness? And yes, you can. And it's obvious right in the story of Abel and Cain. Now watch. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Now, let me tell you, that is an incredible part of the story. So, why did Abel become righteous? Well, go back in Genesis chapter 4. See, I wanted to give you the end of the story first, so that when you read the story, you'll go, aha, Genesis 4, and I want you to read verse 3 again, verse 2. And she buried again his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and the Cain was the tiller of the ground. What was the first thing you noticed? God required a what? Blood sacrifice. Did he tell Adam and Eve to offer a blood sacrifice? Yeah, in verse 21, when he made those skins, they saw those innocent animals die in their behalf. And by the way, that's why we still wear leather today. If you think about it, the boots, we're still killing animals, covering our nakedness. I mean, it's the same process, really, in this us. We don't become righteous that way anymore. Okay, but somebody did become righteous that way. And what do you notice about Cain? He's doing by the works of his hand. And right there at the very beginning, you see the division between a righteous man and an unrighteous man. And that is, one says, hey, look, I know God wants a blood sacrifice. And that's where we got that expression, you can't squeeze blood out of a... That's the whole point. You can't squeeze blood out of the turnips. It's always a financial thing. But it isn't really, it's a redemption thing. And as this story goes out, you need to understand what made a man righteous and what didn't make a man righteous. Verse 3, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." First thing, did God ever tell him to do that? It is not apparent in a King James Bible. Not one time. How do we know that the offering of blood would have been what God said? He said, "By faith, Abel." Then what do we know about faith? They had to hear it. Well, yeah, but they had to hear it. Faith requires what? Hearing. Faith requires hearing. God can't tell you something by mental delay. He won't know. But if He speaks it to you and you don't do it, then you're not in faith. Now, if you think about that, that's a very important aspect, because it's true throughout the entire Bible. He's laying down fundamental Bible thing. The other thing that the book makes a huge mistake, the shack, was that we were made in the image of God. How many believe that? See, I believe we're made in the image of Adam, Genesis chapter 5. See, we're fallen from God, of His pristine image, into being made like our father, Adam. We are now. We are now. Those that are saved here are now. You are in the flesh. You'll recognize it as a reality to, you'll put off the robes of the flesh. But let me tell you what, you are already seated in the heavenly places. You are justified. What does justified mean? Just as if I'd never done it. And so what Larry is saying is true, yet we actually have that realization now by faith. That's the only way we got it, is we hear God say it, so it must be true. Cain really worked hard on his offering. I can see the two differences. Abel's out there chewing on a piece of grass, laying in a meadow, looking up into the clouds, you know. And then I can see Cain with his tiller. They had them back then? Anyway, he's on his tiller and he's working his ground really bad. I don't know what Gene's talking about. He's sweating, you know. He sits down for a minute, pops a cold one. Not a beer, probably, but maybe. Mellow yellow, you know. But what do you drink when you're hot? Mellow yellow, you know, and then puts it down and does it again. And then he gets his hoe out and cuts his furrows, and then he plants a seed and he waters it. I mean, he's working himself to death. But see, God never said, "Come and work for me." God said, if you'll slaughter this animal in your behalf, then you'll be righteous. That simple. God isn't complicated. It's that simple. Well, you know the rest of the story. So the people before had one law. There was one commandment back here. What was it? Not to eat of the tree. Right? Y'all with me? He put a flaming sword there, didn't he? Couldn't get to the tree. So they weren't going to break that one commandment again. So it wasn't that commandment that made them righteous, keeping away from it, because they couldn't eat of the tree. One law. The law, in a sense, can't condemn you. It's God that makes you righteous or unjust by faith. Now, I don't believe it's by grace through faith all the way through the Bible. I do not believe that. I mean, if Abel hadn't offered up those blood sacrifices, I don't believe God would even accepted him. He'd be just like Cain. But that was a commandment, and there is no more commandments until the law enters in with Moses. I mean, people act like you get righteous. How many people thought at one time that righteousness came by keeping the commandments, doing the best you can? I did. I mean, everybody in the room, everybody watching on the internet probably thought that at one time. But isn't that odd that when you really think about it, from Adam all the way to Moses, there were no laws? When I heard that, I was like, really? I'm like, weren't those commandments like in the beginning, back in the Old Testament? And you see, guys, even David, that broke commandments that weren't capable of doing anything but condemning him. He had committed adultery and murder. How many could offer sacrifices for that? Zero. There was no sacrifice. So what did God do? Hey, reach beyond that. See, the point back here in Genesis chapter 3 is God is judging people. What does He judge them on? Well, He judges them upon faith, a little more depth on what they believe. Come on, a little more. Come on. By their actions of what? Hey, if you believe that you had to offer a blood sacrifice, would you? If you believe that you had to be water baptized to be saved, would you? Doesn't He say, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be," in Mark 16? So those Jews that believed, heard that by faith, would have what? dove in. You know, where's the pond? You would have built an ark. If he'd have said, hey, it's by grace and not of works, don't you try to do any works, then faith hears and sits back and does what? Nothing. Now, if you think about that, it's always by faith and something. For us, it was faith and the cross. For Israel, it was faith plus baptism, enduring unto the end, keeping the commandments. For us, faith plus the cross, without any works. If you made any effort, you know what your chances of getting in are? Zero. For by grace are you saved through faith. What faith? The Lord's faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift. What happens if someone in their mind is holding on to that one little bitty thing? They're lost. They're going to bust out. Why? Because faith reacts to what it hears from the Word of God. Gosh, this is so important, guys. So in the beginning, these people were judged by what they heard of God and what they did. Now, I want to slide up a couple passages in Genesis, to Genesis chapter 6. Now, we have a chart that Larry keeps for us and he prints out that you ought to get one day. It shows all the Old Testament, how long they lived. Well, he'll have to make a copy, but it is an incredible chart that we got years and years and years and years ago. And you don't realize that Noah knew Adam or within a couple years. Did you realize that? You got that chart? Well, I'm disappointed now. Our chart guy. Yeah.
You reckon Abel, the reason he did what he did was maybe based on what Adam told Abel and not what God told Abel?
I think they came before the Lord. Yeah, once a year. And I'll show you why I believe that.
I just thought maybe what if Abel was like a wise son considered what Adam told?
That would have been fun. I think it would have been. Still would have been by faith. Still would have been the will of God and would have been the word of God. But in Genesis, where we were just at, verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So it's apparent to me that they came before the Lord personally. I don't think that it wouldn't in my mind diminish if Adam told him. Back in Genesis 3, just for a minute. All right. Yeah, 6 is where I want to go. So anyway, yeah, this is the chart. Bring it here. And you can get copies of this. These are the genealogies. So by the time Noah comes, he didn't know Adam. He knew Seth. See that right there? But all these people were still alive. People don't understand that. The world was very populated. But what had happened to the world at the time by Noah had come? They quit sacrificing. They started doing their own thing, just like Cain, just in the way of Cain. He did this. You can take this back. You ought to make some copies of that. It would be good. And if you guys on the internet want some of the paperwork, just email me. No, it's free. So if you want it, just you can call in and we'll get it. But the reason that's really important is God is about to destroy the earth. It had gotten completely away from his one message, which was what? Offer a sacrifice. Out of all the people of the planet at this point, guess who found grace in the eyes of God? Noah, verse 8, there in 6, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, what would the only thing bring about that? A blood sacrifice. Nothing else. They had all left. They have all started doing their own things. They were just like Cain. Maybe some of them started bringing jewels in. You know, there are a lot of people today that count on their tithing to get them into heaven. There's a lot of people that join churches. Well, I'm a member of the church, therefore I'm okay. The church is sacrificing. I'm part of the church. That's good. And it's like that today. What happened back then is happening today. But again, what caused a man to be found out of all those millions of people upon planet Earth? Blood. He offered the sacrifice. So God said, okay, you found grace in my eyes. You know, I'm going to bring about a flood. And you know what? If you want to escape that flood, Noah, you're going to have to build an ark. Now, Noah could have said, I don't believe God. And therefore, in unbelief, he wouldn't have built the ark. You got it? But because he heard God say that he was going to bring judgment upon the earth, Noah believed God and built an ark. And that wasn't for the saving of anybody except his family and the animals. God was talking to him directly. God was communicating kind of what George and I believe that at this time God is communicating directly to men. And when he was fed up with it, look at what it said here in verse 5, Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow, kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face. But he couldn't destroy Noah. Why? He was righteous. It was blood. He was doing the thing God had called him to do. And whether or not God spoke to Noah directly, I don't know in that sense of the context of his blood sacrifice. He may have got it from his father and from his father all the way back to Adam, which would have been okay too, because it was still the Word of God. But have you ever played the game Gossip? Boy, I mean, you know, we could start it and go down through the aisle, and by the time we got it, you say, well, God's grace is great, and by the time it gets to the end, it's the green grass is growing rapidly, you know, or something, you know. It doesn't even make sense. People go, well, that's crazy. How does that happen? But I believe that Noah got it straight before God. But you know what? If God said, okay, you found grace in my eyes, but he didn't build the ark, what would have happened? He would have died, and judgment would have been upon him, and he would have gone to the place of judgment. You all understand? Would God want him to go? No, but you realize that when they closed the door and God sealed that door on that ark, God sealed the door, that at that point, everybody, do you realize that God allowed babies and grandmothers and great-grandmothers to be locked out of that ark? Why did he bring judgment? They were in unbelief. You all understand? The infants be okay in judgment because they don't know. Remember, faith cometh by and hearing by the Word of God. And that's that old thing. When do they understand? You know, I don't know that there was like 13 or 12 or 10 or 22. I mean, I know some mental retarded kids that are 35 that wouldn't understand if you told them. I believe they're under a covenant of grace. You know what I'm saying? God isn't going to hold them accountable for what they can't hear or understand. I think they're in the covenant of grace. Remember that God only judges for what they can hear and do. So, but did they die? Yes, they died. And the wages of sin is death. That's why they died. They were in Adam. You know, they didn't die because they committed sin. Could a two-year-old say, well, I'm offering the wrong thing. I should hang out with Noah more? No way. They didn't have a clue. I found that a little bit odd. What is it that God requires? Faith cometh by and hearing by the, you know, people get all distraught. Did those youngsters die back here? If they didn't understand, could God hold them accountable? No. God's not that kind of God. Y'all understand? Where did they go? They didn't go to heaven. Did Noah go to heaven? No. Where'd they go when they died? Probably death. And it'll be brought when? No. They'll be brought up at the great white throne judgment. That's what I believe. I do believe that. I mean, why look in the book of life? Okay, I mean, think about it. He's got the book of life there, and he's looking for names. If there's no names in it, why would he waste his time bringing the book? I mean, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And the other thing is, there's been no judgment to those kids that haven't heard. God would be unjust. And that's not his attribute. God is just. And so understanding the attributes of God, you've got to hold that into consideration. Well, we're talking about some deep stuff. Do you all understand that? This is deep stuff. Very important, guys, because people think it's sin that sends you to hell, or this action, or that action. It's never been that. It has to do with what faith told you to do. And you know the story of 1 Samuel, where Samuel goes to Saul, and Saul says, well, greeting, man of God, praise the Lord, glad to see you. He said, why don't you do the commandments of the Lord? He said, I've done the commandments of the Lord. He said, well, if you did that, why am I hearing the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? To obey is better than sacrifice. You see, to hear the word of God and obey. God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Then Noah has to hear and obey. That's where we get that song. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Well, the whole idea of that song is to trust what you hear and obey it. So it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't really matter. I mean, you got to remember in Noah's day, there is no... this is going to take me one more week to get through this, I can tell. I thought I'd go faster than this. You know, in your mind, you're imagining the sermon. I'm like, not even like a fourth of the way through. You know, I'm like, I'm looking at the time and I'm like, no way, you know. It's important stuff. I mean, faith reacts in every dispensation. In our dispensation, what is the reaction? Nothing. If you try to do anything, guess what? You're lost. Faith tells us what? It's not of ourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. So you have to restrain trying to put you in it. And let me tell you, it's hard for people. It is not as easy as people think. Trying to loose the shackle of religion that has bound us up is very difficult to break free. I'm just telling you, religion has anchored in our minds some concepts that are so far away from God's faith that we can't get it. You got to think about Noah's predicament. You've got to understand, he's told them to make an ark of gopher wood because it's going to rain. Do you realize up to Noah, it never rained on planet Earth? It was like a dew. Yes, it was like a rainforest. Yeah, it says that it did not rain. It missed. It said the word mist. You can find it by the word mist in your concordance, maybe. Yeah, it may have. But anyway, it says that. So, you know, you talk about faith. Building a boat that's 300 feet long on dry ground is pretty faithful. How many saw Evan Almighty? I thought it was actually pretty funny because that would have been a lot like all of a sudden, you know, it didn't, piles of gopher wood didn't just show up in the yard, you know, like it did there. But you all understand, I mean, everybody was mocking him, you know, in Evan Almighty. Oh, it's not, they got the reporters out there, well, it's not raining out here now. And then all of a sudden, he didn't bring the rain. It rained a little bit, then it stopped. What happened was the dam broke and flooded the valley. So everybody, you know, gets drowned in this thing. And, of course, Noah, in this case, Evan Almighty, is saying, well, in the same sense, that's how it was in Genesis 2:6. There you go. Yeah, it was further back. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So all the earth was, it never rained. So now you're talking about faith in Noah's day. He's building this ark, and he's saying there's going to be a torrential downpour. But had he not built it, and had he not done what God told him to do, and by the way, did he say pitch it on the in and pitch it on the out? Yeah, he had to do exactly what that was. That waterproof, that pitching was waterproof. And made that thing, when that flood came, I can guarantee you that people were trying to get to higher grounds as fast as they could. Babies and lions and tigers and all the other animals perished. And guys, listen to me. It took faith to build that ark. And he went through humility. Not that the humility had anything to do with it. What did it was the action of faith told him to build an ark. Obedience. So God, from all the very beginning, separated people based upon what? Faith. That's right. And really, it's been separated the whole time. There are two people in the book of Proverbs. What is it? A wise son and a foolish son. What does the wise son do? He listens to his father. What does the foolish son do? And see, that division is all the way through. Today in the age of grace, there are people that are filled in churches this evening, all across planet Earth here, that are Muslims, that are Christian, that are doing things for their religion, and they think how many watched the ceremony of the U.S. Cathedral there in Washington for Obama this morning? You know, they had Muslims, and they had Greek Orthodox, and all this, and they were basically telling the man there, Obama, what to do. Do, do, do. Well, there's really two divisions in all dispensations, and they're all based upon certain things. Religion tells you to do something. Truth tells you something's been done for you. Over here, they believe in vain. And what do I mean by in vain? They make up their religion. My mother taught me from my youth up, cleanliness was next to God would help those that would help themselves. All of that is, I believe those things, but I believe them in vain or without a cause. Over here is true believe. That's what it's all about. Noah truly believed what God said and did it. And it was like that all the way throughout. Were there any Jews and Gentiles back here? No. But at a point in time, then God separates Abraham from the rest of the planet. That happens in Genesis 12. Before Genesis 12, how did people get accepted? Blood sacrifice only, and their obedience to what God said. For Noah, it was doing what? Build an ark. Cain and Abel was just offer that blood sacrifice. But it was whatever. When you get to Genesis 12, things change. Now, God has separated mankind. People say God is an integrating God. No. At the beginning, did God allow integration to happen? Yes, He did. But in Genesis chapter 12, God became a separatist, a surrogate, separation. But He separated it. Now, here's the funny thing. Most people don't know who He separated from what. I believe that there are three races of man. Let me go back just a minute. Genesis, verse 10, 6 verse 10, Genesis 6 verse 10. All right? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. Not nations, nation. And I will bless thee. From the very beginning, Abraham, and he raises them up above all the people. Hold on to here and go to Exodus. Hold on, we're going to come right back. Go to Exodus 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye, who's the ye? Abram, his people, his descendants, the Israelites, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. You got that? Well, guess who that all people would include? Us, the Gentiles. For all the earth is mine. So God, in His infinite wisdom, raised up this seed, which was Abraham. And from that point on, from Genesis 12, there is a separation between that and the rest of the earth. There is Israel and who? Gentiles. Now, inside the Gentiles, there's two ways to live. One, you could bless. You go find a Jew and bless him, right? Or you could curse them, and God would do what? He'd bless one, and He'd curse the other. Again, faith cometh by hearing. They would say, I hear that, therefore I'll bless. I hear that, therefore I'll be blessed. Hearing is the key. That's why God chose the foolishness of preaching. To say, it's the hearing factor. That's why preachers that get up and tell you collie dog stories, the job of the church is not to get you emotional. The job is to make sure you understand that you've heard the correct doctrine, that you will react in the correct way by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, you know, the whole idea is God used prophets in the Old Testament. Why did He use prophets? So they might... You're starting to see the picture here? It's the hearing and your reaction. So these Gentiles would have had to hear the truth that if you'll bless us, God will bless you. If you curse us, God will curse you. Say, well, how does that work? Just like Rahab, when they were in Jericho, and I'll probably share this next week. He says, I've heard that God was going to give you the land. How does she know? He'd given them all the land they'd walked through already. And that rumor had gone before, and so she decided to do what? Bless that Jew. No way. They would never have been allowed in the synagogue. Yeah, they would have heard it. They heard the rumors as that army of Israel approached. They knew that God was going to turn over that land. And she said, look, it's happened everywhere. When you guys come into the land, just make sure. And they said, well, put out a little scarlet thread out your window when we come into the city. I mean, guys, all these stories mean something. I mean, it's not just in the Old Testament for your pleasurable late night reading to put you to sleep. No, it's there for doctrinal purposes. Where did I tell you? 22. Now, the reason that I want you to see this is these are people that had cursed Israel. These are people that didn't listen to God. By the way, did Pharaoh listen to God? know, he said, who is this the Lord that I should hearken to him? Well, I bet he knows who the Lord is now. You all understand? He heard, but he didn't believe. Gosh, this is so... Man, if you don't get this, you're going to mess up. This is like it. 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord hath sent me to anoint thee king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Boy, that you need to underline that in your Bible. That is the whole key. Verse 2. 1 Samuel 15, verse 2. I just read 1. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which the Amalekites did to who? They cursed them. You know that old saying, payback's rough? He'd heard it. They came against Israel, and now the payment is due. They heard, they rejected. Guess what sends a person to hell today? That's it. Unbelief, rejection. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which the Amalekites did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite the Amalekites and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And so Saul gathers together the army. Why is he going over there? They had heard that they should have blessed Israel. But they made a choice after they heard that, because God can't judge a person in whom they have not what? So they'd heard what was right, and they disobeyed against God. And so God is separating the righteous from the unrighteous. How is he doing that? By faith. By what they heard. Now, he's told people different things in different dispensations. You all understand? But it's what they hear, like if I told you to be baptized, you'll be saved. That is said in one of the dispensations. Would it save you? No, because that's not what God said to you. So rightly dividing is finding out who God is talking to. It's really that simple. All right, I could go on another 10 minutes, but I can only get IOUs out of this crowd. I want to finish because I really want to deal with the Old Testament saints. Where do they go and why do they go there? And Israel also, there are some things that Israel can hear. And then can Israel blaspheme? Yeah. How about can Israel commit murder? Yeah. And in those cases, and they know that there's no sacrifice, guess what? Watch this. Whoa. You got it? You know, so if they hear, and I can guarantee you that where they end up and what they do is very, very important. Now, I'm done.